Good morning. And for those of you who I've not been able to say it, Happy New Year. First Sunday of the new year. What better place to be than here at Lake Hazel Bible Church? Amen. I'm so glad that you are here, and I hope that you are glad that you are here as well. And so if you are a guest with us this morning, thank you so much for being here. And hopefully you received a welcome packet. Inside that welcome packet's a little card. If you just take a moment, fill that out, drop it in the offering plate, or leave it on the information table out in the foyer, that would be such a big help to us. And maybe you were here over the holidays and you didn't get a welcome packet. If you would like to get a welcome packet so that you could fill out that little card for us, see me after the service and we can make that happen for you. Hopefully you also received the bulletin, and so did the rest of you. So take your bulletin out. Let's kind of go over some of the things that are happening. There's no Sunday school this week. There will be no Sunday school next week after the morning service, and I will explain to you why that will be for next week as well. Tuesday evening, men, we have leadership team meeting here at the church at 6:30. I hope that you have that on your calendar and you'll be able to be here to be able to start the new year off right by gathering together and as leaders, and to be able to continue on with the leadership of the ministry here at Lake Hazel Bible Church. Wednesday afternoon, we are at 1 p.m., we are resuming our Joy Bible study here at the church, and we're going to continue on in our study of systematic theology. Thursday night, we have our Awana Grand Prix, and if you don't know anything about the Grand Prix, it's where the kids and their parents, they buy these little blocks of wood, and they have wheels, and they have axles, and they decorate them, and they cut them out into different shapes and stuff, and then on Thursday night, we're going to race them. We're going to have a track set up here, and we're going to race them down the track, and there are going to be lots of excitement, lots of prizes. If you've never seen one and you want to find out what it's all about, come and join us at 6:30 for the Awana Grand Prix. Ladies, on Saturday at 10 a.m., you have Coffee Connection, and there are details about that in the bulletin, and so please make sure that you have that on your calendar so that you as ladies can get together at the home of Diane Crawford. Next Sunday, the reason why we're not having Sunday school is because we have church family dinner, and this is our annual soup and sandwich dinner, and there's a sign-up sheet on the information table, and I noticed that there are still a lot of blanks that haven't been filled in yet for you to help bring some of the food, and so make sure that before you leave today that you sign up so that we have an idea of how to be able to know how to plan. Also, I stopped in the library. I looked at the mail slots in the library. Some of you have mail in your mail slots, and I think some of them look like they could be Christmas cards, and you might want to get those so that you can enjoy those Christmas greetings before it gets summer. And then you have, and then you look in your box and you go, oh, wait a minute, this is a Christmas greeting. Okay, we don't want that. We want you to be able to enjoy them now. So you might want to stop and be able to get those. There's some Bible reading schedules out on the information table. There's some information that have been given to us by Shiloh, some camp brochures for those of you who have camp age kids. For those of you who would like to read a recap of the 2025 camping season, there's that. And those are on the table underneath the bulletin board where the leadership team pictures are. So avail yourself to those as well. Lots of other information in the bulletin. Well, I don't know about you, but as I look out and I see all of you gathered here, man, I'm glad to be here. I think God is going to do some great things through us and in us this morning, don't you? So let's start. Let's get it going. Let's go, worship team.
Would you all stand with me this morning? What better way to get into the new year with praise and adoration of our great God and King? All creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thou burning sun with golden beam, thou silver moon with softer gleam. Oh, praise him, oh, praise him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. heart so strong. Ye clouds that sail in heaven along, oh, praise him, alleluia. Thou rising morning, praise, rejoice. Ye lights of evening, find a voice. Oh, praise him, oh, praise him, alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. And all ye men of tender heart, forgiving others, take your part. Oh, sing ye, alleluia. Ye who long pain and sorrow bear, praise God and on him cast your care. Oh, praise him, oh, praise him, alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Let all things their Creator bless, and worship him in humbleness. Oh, praise him, alleluia. Praise, praise the Father, praise the Son, and praise the Spirit, three in one. Oh, praise him, oh, praise him, alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. You hear me when I call, you are my morning song. Though darkness fills the night, it cannot hide the light. Whom shall I fear? You crush the enemy underneath my feet. You are my sword and shield, though troubles linger still. Whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. My strength is in your name, for you alone can save. You will deliver me, yours is the victory. Whom shall I fear? Oh, whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. And nothing formed against me shall stand. You hold the whole world in your hands. I'm holding on to your promises. You are faithful, you are faithful, you are faithful. I know who goes before me, I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The God of angel armies.
peace is always by my side.
Father, thank you. Thank you for giving us hope and assurance so we can look out over the breadth of this next year and know you go before us. You've already prepared a way for us. Lord, help us to walk with you and walk in your ways. Lord, we love you. We bless you and praise you today. Amen. Please be seated as we continue. God is good. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We're going to kick off this new year walking side by side with our Father.
I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night. You tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know searching for answers, only you provide, 'cause you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. You are perfect in all of your ways. In all of your ways, you are perfect in all of your ways to us. Love so undeniable, I can hardly speak. Peace so unexplainable, I can hardly think, as you call me deeper still, as you call me deeper still, as you call me deeper still in the love, love, love. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. This is my Father's world, and to my listening, is my Father's world. is my Father's world. Oh, let me never forget. And though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. And though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. Why should my heart be sad? The Lord is King. Let the heavens ring. God reigns. Let the earth be glad. Let the earth be glad.
As our ushers take this morning's offering, we're going to sing this song, I Surrender All. And as we sing this song today, I want you to be thinking of the next year, 2026. All of this year, all of yourself. Surrender it to Him. He is trustworthy. He will not let you down when you surrender to Him.
Oh, to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily. Take me, Jesus, take me.
Let's do the next verse.
All to Jesus I surrender. Make me Savior, wholly thine. Let me feel the Holy Spirit. Truly know that thou art mine.
This congregation, I pray that as they surrender all to you in this next year, Lord, would you walk with them as they humbly bow at your feet. Lord, I pray that you would bless them, that you would fill them with your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that as these people go with you, Lord, that you would uphold them. Lord, you are trustworthy and true and faithful. So when we say, I surrender all, there's no one worth surrendering to but you. So, Lord, we sing this to you.
I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
How fitting it is that we can start the first Sunday of a brand new year singing I Surrender Some. You're all looking at me like, what? Oh, that's not what you sang? What did you sing? All. So when you surrender all, that means you surrender class. Does all mean all? Yeah, it does. Okay. That means you have to empty your heart. It means you have to empty your mind. That means you have to empty your attitudes. That means you have to empty yourself in order to surrender all. Because if you hold anything back, you haven't what? You haven't surrendered. That's exactly right. And God says, listen, I want all. He doesn't want the best parts. He just doesn't want the worst parts. He wants all of us, every part of us, every bit of us. So you know what? As Jared reminded us this morning, let's make this Sunday the beginning of a new year that God has given to us. And we don't know how long we have in 2026. None of us are guaranteed that we'll see this whole year come to its conclusion in just a few short months. So let's give him all. Let's not hold anything back. Let's let him use us. Let's let him teach us. Let's let him guide us in the way that he chooses, not the way that we desire. Amen? All right, kids, come on down. All right, let's pray. Father, that is our desire. I believe that's the desire of every heart here this morning, is to be able to surrender all that they are to you. And Father, I pray that that will be our ongoing desire. And Father, I pray that part of that surrender is that we surrender our hearts and our minds to your word. Father, that we will be a people who stand on the truths of your word. And Father, may it begin right now. And so, Father, I pray that as we take this opportunity in our worship service to worship you through the preaching and the teaching of your word, Father, may our hearts and our minds be open to what you want us to learn through your Holy Spirit. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, going to have a good time. While they're being dismissed, turn with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter 1. And while you're turning there, I'm going to read a verse for you out of Psalms. Psalm 37, verse 23. The steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in God's way. I like that. Don't you? The steps of a man, and it could be a woman too, are established by the Lord when he delights in God's way. So I got to tell you a little bit of history here before we get started this morning. So while we were in our Christmas series of the heart of Christmas, you already understand, right? That my heart was already moving away from that. Trying to figure out, trying to pray, trying to search out what it is that God has for us after Christmas and then after the celebration of communion and the New Year message that we had last week. Where is it that God wants us to be able to go? And this isn't something that's just been a few week battle. It's been a battle. Because there were things I wanted, places in God's word I wanted to go. And I thought I knew that that's where God wanted us to be able to go. But come to find out, when push came to shove and I decided that I needed to just let God decide where we wanted us to go, we landed in the book of Genesis. So this is kind of a unique year for us as a church family here in 2026. Because come September, we're going to be celebrating this church's 50th anniversary. Yeah. As I mentioned last week, that is a huge milestone in the life of a church. And it's not something to be taken lightly. It's something to be appreciated. It's something to be enjoyed. It's something for us to be able to make sure that we have that on our calendar. By the way, September 11th, 12th, and 13th, that weekend in September. I hope you have it on your calendar. If not, I hope you'll put it on your calendar and that you'll be here to be able to celebrate in the way that our anniversary team is letting God lead them to be able to put that weekend together for us. And so what's an anniversary celebration all about? It's all about getting back to the beginning, isn't it? It's all about remembering the beginning. How 50 years ago this year, Lake Hazel at the time was called Lake Hazel Baptist Church, but it began that weekend in September, its very first official service has a church across the street at the elementary school. Wow. So we're going to go back and we're going to celebrate that beginning. And as we go along through the months leading up to that, we're going to be reminding you over and over and over again of this momentous year in the life of our church. You know, I don't know how many of you know, but actually Lake Hazel Baptist Church started in the home of Don and Jan Smith. They were willing to leave the church they were a part of to be able to have a church begin in their home up here in this part of the Treasure Valley, so that maybe eventually God would begin a church. They were willing to be able to do that. Wow. I don't know if you've ever said to them, thank you for being willing to allow God to use you in your home. But I think it would be fitting sometime this year for us to make sure that we do that, right? To be able to thank them, because we have Lake Hazel Bible Church because of that. The book of Genesis is a book of beginnings. And so you're probably wondering, why study the book of Genesis, Pastor? Well, I know when I told you that we're going to be starting a series of messages in the book of Genesis, some of you went, yes, I'm going to like that. Some of you are going to go, are you kidding me? Isn't there somewhere else he could have preached from? Isn't there something else we could have studied? Probably. But as God and I wrestled it out, and he won, because I learned a long time ago, I'm never going to win, so I might as well just give up and just let him continue to lead us where he wants us to be able to go. And when that happens, things go really well. And so I hope that you'll get excited about this coming study in the book of Genesis. When I was telling my friend Chuck in Phoenix, because I had already told him, because he had asked me a while back where it was we were probably going to be going after the Christmas season. And I said, I'm wrestling with a couple things, and one of those is Genesis. He got excited. But he said, Sam, you're going to preach through the whole book of Genesis, or are you going to stop, you know, like after chapter 11 or 12 or 15? And I said, no, my plan is we're going to go all the way through chapter 50. And he said, Sam, that could take you 5 years. And I said, yeah, that's what I'm afraid of. But you know what? We're going to take it as God brings it to us. As God brings it to me, I'm going to bring it to you. And so for those of you that are excited, hey, I'm happy. I'm pleased. For those of you that are on the fence, so I'm going to take off my preacher hat and I'm going to put on, Dave, my lawyer hat. And I'm going to spend the rest of our time this morning presenting a case as to why we need to be appreciative of where God is leading us in this series of messages from the book of Genesis. So let's go back to the original question, why study the book of Genesis? Because we need to sound the alarm about what is happening in our society today spiritually. And we need to look inside our own lives, and I believe that means we need to look inside the church. Because most of our long-held biblical beliefs are being demolished piece by piece. So allow me to share some highlights, or rather lowlights, of a recent study called The State of Theology, commissioned by Lifeway Research. And I've selected just five of the findings. Here's the first one. Two-thirds of evangelicals, by the way, we here at Lake Hazel Bible Church, we would be considered to be evangelicals. And I don't have time to be able to explain to you all the history and how that term came to be, but we would consider ourselves to be evangelicals. Two-thirds of evangelicals agree with this statement. Everyone is born innocent in the eyes of God. Now, all of you are theologically astute enough to be able to know, whoa, there's a problem with that statement. Because this statement tells us that the biblical teaching of original sin is not believed by most evangelicals. But God clearly gives us his position on the reality of sin. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5 says, "The Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." What? That's not innocent of sin. We're not born innocent in the eyes of God. We are born sinful. And we're going to talk more about that in our study of the book of Genesis. If you want a New Testament idea of this, Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. For all have what? Sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Folks, we're not innocent when it comes to being sinful mankind. But the good news is, God didn't leave us as sinful mankind. He sent to us one who could pay the debt of our sin. If one does not hold to what God's word says about sin, then the grace of God as described in God's word is stripped of meaning and relevance. Here's the second finding in this survey. When surveyed about the Bible, this was the response. The Bible, like all sacred writings, contains helpful accounts of ancient myths, but it's not literally true. What? Today, 53% of Americans and 26% of evangelicals believe that the Bible is not true. That's not us. Just to clear the record right now, that's not us. This makes it easy for spiritual leaders to ignore any biblical teaching that is out of step with their own personal views and to easily embrace the philosophies and ideologies of the world. Now, where did this come from? Well, I believe it harkens back to how Satan got inside Eve's head and heart when he asked in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1, "Did God say?" That's the question we ask. That's the question your pastor asks. What did God say? And that's what he delivers to you. Not his opinion, not his thoughts, not his viewpoint. What does God say? And hopefully I can substantiate it from God's word, and it's not going to be any different as we get into this study of the book of Genesis. Here's another telling response. 42% of Americans and 37% of evangelicals agree with this assertion. Gender identity is a matter of choice. This goes against the clear teaching of Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God's word says there are how many genders? What are they? That's it. Now, as a human being, you can change your gender. You can change your appearance to look like some kind of another gender. But you can't change your gender. I had a person in the medical community tell me a couple years ago that no matter how much people change their appearance, they cannot change their gender. Because your DNA is what determines your gender, because God has established it in your DNA. So down the road, people who have changed their appearance from one gender to another, if for some reason they ever have to be tested as DNA, the DNA is going to show that they're the gender that they were born as. You can change the appearance. You can't change the gender. Why? Because God created the gender. You can change the appearance, but you can't do that. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. When we get to verse 27 of chapter 1, we won't get there today. But when we get to verse 27, we're going to talk more about that. Here's number 4. Trends over time reveal an increasingly unbiblical belief among evangelicals that God accepts the worship of all religions, including Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. 56% of evangelicals do not believe Jesus is the only way. When Jesus himself said, and it's recorded in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Yesterday at men's breakfast, and if you don't come to men's breakfast, you need to come to men's breakfast because, man, sometimes we have some really good conversations. And we got into the conversation about the fact that there are a whole lot of people who place a whole lot more importance on religion than they do on the Word of God. I can't tell you how many times on Thursday morning when I go into a room at Riverview and I introduce myself as the chaplain, people ask me, so what religion are you? And when I say, not about religion, they don't know what to do with it. It's like, wait a minute, you're the chaplain. You're all about religion. And I say, no, I'm not. Well, if you're not about religion, then what are you about? I said, I'm about your relationship with God. I'm about your relationship with Jesus, his son, who went to the cross to be your savior. I'm all about your relationship with his word, the truth found in the Bible. That's what I'm more concerned about. I don't care about your religion. I don't care about what denomination you grew up in. What's your relationship with God? And we're going to see how important God takes that in this study of the book of Genesis. How God, even in the beginning part of the book of Genesis, tells us that he's sending us somebody to take care of this problem of sin that has now come upon all mankind. It's not about religion, because Jesus is the only way. He's the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. Here's the fifth one that I want to share with you. 38% of evangelicals believe religious faith is a subjective experience rather than an objective reality. What does that mean? Well, some evangelicals now agree with this statement. Religious belief is a matter of personal opinion. It's not about objective truth. You know, there's a school of thought today that is pretty commonplace in the world today, even here in America today, even here in the Treasure Valley today, that says, you know what? Your truth is your truth. My truth is my truth. And you're okay with your truth, and I'm okay with my truth, and we'll just let it be at that. Folks, there's only one place that we know God's truth. It's in his word. And guess what? It starts in Genesis. I'm gonna show you that here in just a moment as I continue to lay out my case. So we need to stay anchored to God's word as we swim upstream from the cultural currents in today's society. Where the Bible speaks, we stand. You with me? You with God? You with his word? Where the Bible speaks, we must stand. We need to go back to the beginning to get to the bedrock of our beliefs. Genesis is not just the first book of God's word. It's the foundation for the rest of the Bible. So the theme of this series is to move forward spiritually. We must go back to the beginning. And we're going to do that. Okay, so there's some points in the back of the bulletin on the outline. We're going to start with point one. We can trust the book of Genesis. Now, I know some of you are thinking, well, yeah, Pastor, it's the Bible. We can trust it. Well, we just went through a whole series of five things theologically that people who should know better don't, right? Because they don't trust God's word, starting with the book of Genesis. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 tells us that we can trust the book of Genesis because all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man or the people of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. How much of scripture is breathed out by God? Does that include Genesis? Does that include Revelation? Does it include every book in between? 100%. It just doesn't contain the truth of God's word. It is holy, the truth of God's word. End of sentence. We either understand that, we either follow that, we either believe that, we either stand on that, or we're going to fall on whatever society decides to send our way. My fear is that this church never falls on where society wants it to go, but that we will always stand as Lake Hazel Bible Church on the written word of God, the revealed word of God, the truthness of God's word. Because it's God's word. It's not opinion. It's not however spiritually or theologically the wind blows. What does God's word say? There's a reason, folks, that this church is called Lake Hazel. What? Bible Church. We're about the Bible. You notice? Okay. For those of you who weren't here last week, I'm going to say it again. So I'm now starting my 14th year as pastor here at Lake Hazel Bible Church. In all of those 14 years, I've never brought any other thing to this pulpit except God's word. And if I'm here another 14 years or 5 years to preach through the book of Genesis, every Sunday morning, I'm going to bring God's word, the Bible. Nothing else. And I'm here to tell you, I don't apologize for that. And neither should you. So Moses was the human author of the book of Genesis under the guidance and inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Now, at the turn of the 20th century, some liberals assumed that Moses could not have written the Pentateuch, which are the first five books of the Bible. We've already looked at Exodus. We're not going to look at all the rest of them. That's not my plan right now. They assumed that Moses could not have written the Pentateuch because primitive Jews did not have the capacity to write back then. They didn't have the capacity to be able to do it. In other words, they weren't intelligent enough when Moses was on the scene to be able to write things down. Not surprisingly, this has since been refuted by archaeology,
which has proven over and over and over again that writing was a part of the Jewish culture. What? So these liberals have no idea of what they're talking about. And besides, we're going to look at how that was possible as we get a little bit deeper into Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2. So you're going to want to be here for that. So here are some additional reasons we can trust Genesis. David, am I doing okay laying out my case like a lawyer? He's not saying anything, so I'm a little worried. Okay? All right? Let's look at some additional reasons. Here's number one. The Bible does not begin like a fairy tale. Doesn't begin once upon a time, but with a factual, truthful statement. In the beginning, God. You see that? Have you found Genesis 1:1? Look at what it says. In the beginning, God. Here's the second genealogies in Genesis. Now, sometimes we read the book of Genesis and we read all of these names that we can't pronounce. You won't have to worry about pronouncing them. I'll mispronounce them for you as we get to those, okay? And we think, man, what are these? What's this list of people all about? And he begat so-and-so, and so-and-so begat so-and-so. So what's that all about? Well, it gives the names of actual people who lived at a specific time of history. In fact, the entire framework of the book of Genesis is built around genealogies. Chapter 4, 5, 10, 11, 22, 25, 29, through 30, 35, and 36, and 46. Okay, here's some of the most telling evidence. Jesus affirmed Moses as the human author. It's recorded in John chapter 5, verses 46 and 47, where Jesus said, and if anybody ought to know, it ought to be Jesus. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? What is Jesus saying? Moses had the capacity to be able to what? To write. To be able to record, to be able to understand what God's Holy Spirit was bringing to him. Here's something interesting. The scribes and Pharisees recognized Moses as the author of the first five books of the Bible. We find that in Matthew chapter 22, verse 24. Jesus quoted from Genesis chapter 2, verses 23 and 24 in Matthew chapter 19, verses 4 and 5 when referring to marriage. Jesus acknowledged Noah and the flood as an historic event in Matthew chapter 24, verse 37, where Jesus says, for as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Was Jesus talking about a myth, or was he talking about a real person? Was he talking about some kind of a fictional story, or was he talking about truth? He was talking about truth. He was talking about a factual, actual person. Paul affirmed Adam and Eve as actual people in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, where Paul says, for Adam was formed first, then Eve. Was he writing about a factual event with factual people? Absolutely. Paul also wrote about Abraham and Sarah as models of faith. Peter referred to a literal worldwide flood in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 6, where it says the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. What's Peter talking about? A flood. A worldwide flood. He says the world that existed was deluged with water and perished. Okay, here's what I think is a really good point. There are 165 passages in Genesis that are either directly quoted or clearly referred to in the New Testament. 165. You might want to write that down. 165 passages in Genesis that are either directly quoted or clearly referred to in the New Testament. So what does this tell us? We must accept what Genesis teaches, regardless of what society, sociologists, or secular scientists might say. Because Genesis either explains it all, or it does not explain it at all. J. Sidlow Baxter writes, besides being introductory, Genesis is explanatory. The roots of all subsequent revelation are planted deep in Genesis, and whoever would truly comprehend that revelation must begin here, meaning the book of Genesis. Now, the Hebrew title Genesis comes from the opening words, in the beginning. The English title Genesis comes from the Greek translation of the Pentateuch and means origin, source, and birth, which is why Genesis is referred to as the book of beginnings. The overall truths of Genesis are made up of highly developed and complex historical narratives with a focus on key individuals. Here's a second point. I believe we can break it down to two purposes of Genesis. There's the historical purpose. Genesis teaches the origin of the universe, chapter 1. Genesis teaches the origin of life, again, chapter 1. Genesis teaches the origin of mankind, chapters 1 and 2. Genesis teaches the origin of sin, chapter 3. Genesis teaches the origin of languages and culture, chapter 11. Genesis teaches the origin of a chosen nation, chapters 12 through chapter 50. There's historical purposes. There's also doctrinal purposes. Genesis gives evidence that God is sovereign. Genesis gives evidence that God is a personal God. He desires a relationship with us. Genesis gives evidence that God is just. He rewards those who obey him, such as Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Joseph. He punishes those who walk in disobedience, Adam and Eve, Cain, the people of Noah's generation, the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, and others. Genesis gives evidence that God is gracious and merciful, and Genesis gives evidence that God is a redeeming God. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. So when we read that statement, in the beginning, God, there are two important questions. That's point number three. Two important questions that come to our heart and our minds. Here's the first question. When? What's the answer? In the beginning. You know, some men were trying to answer the question, where did God come from? And after compiling their data and feeding it into a sophisticated supercomputer, they pushed the enter button and with great anticipation waited. Lights flashed, buzzers sounded, and finally the computer monitor displayed the answer. See Genesis 1:1. Because Genesis 1:1 is the declaration that God has always been. He had no beginning, and he will have no end. And this simple declaration does not need an explanation for his existence. Nowhere, as you read about God in the beginning, do you ever read an explanation. Not in Genesis chapter 1, not in John chapter 1. Isn't that interesting? Why? Because the truth of God's word is, God always is. God always is. Wow. Okay. That brings us to the second question. Who? Who? God. God's word just asserts that God is. If God is, what's the significance? Well, let me tell you something. Because God is, it means everything. If God is, then unrighteousness can be made righteous. The debt of sin can be paid for and chaos can be brought to order. If God is, there is hope for the hopeless and help for the helpless. If God is, everything in life has meaning and purpose. But if God is not, then we have a mess. There was a young boy who once prayed, "Dear God, please take care of my daddy and my mommy and my sister and my brother and my doggy and me. Oh, and please take care of yourself. If anything happens to you, we're going to be in a big mess." Folks, God is here today. He was here yesterday, and he will be here tomorrow. He always was, he always is, and he always will be. You can count on him. In the beginning, God. Now, here in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, the name for God is Elohim. This name means eternal creator. And this is the most frequently used name for God in the Old Testament. In fact, this name is used about 2,500 times throughout God's word. In fact, it is used 32 times here in Genesis chapter 1. Why? Because the name Elohim establishes that God exists and that he is three in one. And starting next week, we're going to get into that in a little more detail. So what is it that I want you to walk away with today? I'm going to give you two things. Genesis is the foundation of our faith. Understanding Genesis is important and crucial for every believer. Hopefully, I laid out the case. And hopefully, we will respond in the way we know God wants us to respond as he begins to teach us in the coming who knows how long chapters of the book of Genesis. Father, we are so grateful that we could start this morning, the first Sunday of a brand new year, going back to the beginning. And Father, I am so excited. I am so appreciative of the fact that you have led me and hopefully led us as a church family to be able to go back to the beginning, to be able to hear what you have to say for us through your Holy Spirit from this book of Genesis. Father, may our hearts be hungry. Father, may our minds be open to what it is in these coming series of messages that you have for us. And may we not just take it in, but Father, may we live it out in our lives. May it show up in our worship. May it show up in our work. May it show up in our neighbor, in the way that we treat others, the way that we live our lives before others, and especially before you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you all stand with me for this last song?
Love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. Led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I Darkness is running after me. It's running after me. When my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Yes, I will sing of the goodness of God.